Hey, welcome back to Endpoint TV. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs, and today I'm joined by Greg Leek. Greg, you've been around Microsoft a while, right?
Since Windows for Workgroup, so about 16 years.
Holy cow, that's you've seen a lot of stuff come and go over the years.
Yes, yeah? I have.
So now, tell me about your role. What do you do here?
Well, currently, I work in the server and platforms team, so I'm really a tools kind of infrastructure guy, mm-hmm. All about .NET on the server and building high-performance apps. I produce a lot of benchmark apps, a lot of sample apps on MSDN that hopefully teach developers how to build high-performance apps in .NET, using our .NET platform for kind of the mission-critical stuff.
Excellent. Now, I think I remember first hearing about your work back when there was these pet shop wars. You remember the pet shop wars?
Oh, that was one of my first projects on the .NET side. In fact, it was my first .NET project. I'd done some benchmarking versus Java app servers in the past before we even had .NET. And pet shop was a project I kicked off to say, hey, what would it be like to take, kind of the premier at the time reference app for Java and EJBs and move it over to .NET and see what the performance is. Because, we completely redid our platform when we did .NET, so we had a lot to prove in terms of what's the scalability like now, how does it run server apps, how does it compare in productivity and perf to the Java side.
Now, I remember at the time, I was on the Complus team, and we were just kind of moving things into .NET with enterprise services and whatnot. But there was a lot of people in the industry who were very, very skeptical about .NET, about Microsoft and the enterprise, and that. And at the time, it looked like a long shot, really. I mean, people are like, you guys can't even compete in this space. But Pet Shop kind of made a statement, I think, didn't it?
It made a big statement about our commitment to building this, what at the time was really a new style app. I mean, up to that point in time when the web really became the web and the internet happened, everything was kind of classic client server, and it was VB desktop kind of style apps talking to a database. But there was no really concept of a middle tier running a web server and doing all the processing on that server, or middle tier services like we have now in SOA implementations. So it showed our big commitment to running that style of app and doing a completely new plumbing. I mean, we didn't just build a new room on top of an existing foundation. We ripped the whole house down, rebuilt a whole new infrastructure, a whole new foundation called .NET, managed code, and built on top of that to build, obviously, what turned out to be some of the most scalable sites and applications on the internet today are run on .NET.
Now, you got this thing out there, and what was the result?
Well, obviously, it created a lot of controversy. A lot of, this isn't fair,
But why would they say that?
Well, the first thing
it was faster.
It was faster, but I think that the key thing was that the two key comments at the time were, number one, we used stored procedures for our database calls.
Yeah.
In the second implementation, we said, well, that has nothing to do with the performance of the app, so we ripped them all out and went to Dynamics SQL. The second thing that was kind of the big complaint was the Sun Microsoft created Pet Shop reference app really ever meant to be benchmarked? And it was just supposed to be a reference app that showed various features of EJBs and kind of the enterprise functionality of Java. And so that was kind of the other, the other cry foul. And so we actually hired, we hired the company that wrote the first book on EJBs to come in and strip out anything they wanted to strip out, rebuild it for performance. We gave them, on the second go-around, we gave them 9 months in our lab, unfettered, lab access 24/7 to make the, at the time, what was the WebLogic and WebSphere implementations as fast as they could possibly make them.
Yeah.
Without us saying this, that, or anything, as long as we publish the code, and then we're going to run the test, hired a third party to come in and run the test, and .NET still won. Yeah. After 9 months of re-engineering the, the pet shop on the Java side, or the pet store on the Java side, to be a more efficient app. So that's kind of my history. I always stand behind that benchmark. It was a fun project, a great project, and I think it did turn a lot of heads for guys doing enterprise development saying, hey, .NET really can compete from a performance and scalability standpoint. And obviously, we already had the reputation for great productivity with Visual Studio and the .NET platform.
And you must have had like a flame retardant suit to wear at the time.
Absolutely. Yeah, but I can still walk into a room today and do a presentation, you know, like a tech ed or one of our events or even a competing event, and just ask it for a show of hands, who's heard of the Pet Shop Benchmark War or whatever. Usually like 80% of the people in the audience will raise their hand. They have some familiarity with it.
That was huge. I mean, and it went back and forth and back and forth. And,
yes, it did.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it did.
Now, but then that wasn't the end of the story. You've done this other cool thing called Stock Trader. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, my latest effort, you know, Pet Shop lived on, and in fact, it's not a benchmark app anymore, but there's a version of Pet Shop called 4.0 that really was built to demonstrate Visual Studio 2005 and ASP.NET 2 features. So we take these apps and we don't want to just benchmark them and throw numbers out there. We actually want to publish the code and give customers a real sample app that shows how did we code it to get that performance, what were the tuning settings we used, and make it a real design pattern that, customers can follow. So along those lines, the latest app that's been out there for about a year now is called Stock Trader. It's built on WCF, Windows Communication Foundation. So it's a service-oriented app using the latest web service standards. It demonstrates interoperability with Java. We ship actually WebSphere implementation, a BEA WebLogic implementation, and an OC4J implementation for the Oracle app servers. And you can just plug and play at every service level or UI level the different components and see .NET and Java work together. And then, of course, we've run benchmarks, specifically the latest round against WebSphere, to show not only what the relative performance is of the .NET platform with WCF, but also the cost of deploying a .NET app on the server as your app server versus the cost of the same app done in WebSphere.
Well, you know, this is the fascinating thing, because with the economy the way it is now, I mean, people are being squeezed, the budgets are tight, and the results you guys found were just amazing. Could you just give me some feel for what's the cost difference here?
Okay, so you know the you can get all the results first of all at msdn.microsoft.com/stocktrader. So it's a real quick link, and you can download about a 60-page paper and all the technical details, including a tool that'll let you do your own benchmarks.
Okay.
But in this test, it was unique because you know back in the Pet Shop days, we did testing on exact same hardware configs, maybe running Linux or Windows. But running on exactly the same server setup, which is great, very interesting. You're going to compare the relative performance of the software stack, but take hardware out of the equation.
Right.
In this one, we did that. We tested on same hardware with WebSphere and .NET, but we did something a little bit different as well. We actually own a Power 570 server from IBM. It's a Power 6 server. And we took that server as a high-end IBM, you know, enterprise-class server and said, well, what's the performance if you go with a scale-up approach on that high-end AIX-based, you know, system running Power 6 chips versus a moderate scale-out approach on Intel? And let's not only compare .NET to that, but let's actually compare WebSphere running on Windows to WebSphere running on that high-end AIX system and see what the cost differential is for the hardware as well as the performance differential. And the results were pretty amazing over three different core benchmarks that we did on these systems. To give you a sense, I'm going to have to look at my cheat sheet here. On the pure web app portion of the test, where we're just testing a servlet-driven, JDBC-driven, high-performance JSP site versus an equivalent ASP.NET website for the Stock Trader application. In that benchmark, well, let's give you a sense for the cost first. The Power 570 server, $215,000 for an 8-core Power 570 server. This is actually what we paid, but we actually verified that with three other independent quotes. They all came within $2,000 of each other. So this is the actual price for the system, and you get a similar price quote today. So it's a $250,000 system. When you add the WebSphere licenses for just App Server, not even Network Deployment Edition, when you add the App Server licenses, it goes up, that adds $44,000, so you're at $260,000 for the Power 6 system running WebSphere. Now let's just talk about WebSphere on Windows. On a Blade system from Hewlett-Packard, C7000 Blade system. The Blades themselves are about $3,000 to $4,000 a pop, and we only ran four of them. And it's all in one enclosure, managed kind of as a single unit with the HP Blade management software, which is very cool. Running Server 2008, Windows Server 2008. The total cost hardware-wise for that system was $50,000. Instead of $250,000, including the blades, or $215,000, with all four blades configured. And the WebSphere licenses on that system are $37,000. Turns out you actually pay less for WebSphere on Intel, and you pay for WebSphere on Power 6. You charge a premium even for the software on Power 6. So you're looking at $87,000 in total cost on the HP setup with WebSphere on Windows versus $260,000 total cost for the Power 6 with WebSphere.
Yeah.
And it turns out those four blades in the web application benchmark produced 8,000 TPS, I'm sorry, 11,000 TPS on the blade system with WebSphere on Windows.
Yeah.
11,000 TPS, the same app, the same WAR file, yeah, deployed to the Power 6 system, 8,000 TPS.
Wow.
So you're looking at almost 50% better performance on, yeah, WebSphere on Windows on a cluster of four low-end, you know, lower-end blades,
yeah,
at, you know, one-fourth the cost of the $260,000 system that's producing less TPS. And it makes you know, and the whole point of this is to have customers, especially in today's economy, ask, well, what exactly am I paying for?
Yeah.
And am I getting what I'm paying for? Or are there other options out there?
Now, and so how does StockTrader compare to these, the web,
on the .NET side?
Yeah.
So on the .NET side, on the same blade system, because we don't charge separate for our application server license, you just get the app server integrated and .NET integrated with Windows Server.
Right.
The total middle tier cost was $50,000,
uh-huh,
compared to 87 for WebSphere on Windows, 87,000 WebSphere on Windows, and 260,000 WebSphere on the Power 6.
Right.
Hardware and software on the middle tier.
Okay.
.NET produced about 12,000 TPS, so roughly equivalent to the WebSphere implementation, slightly better,
yeah,
but no significant difference in the web application benchmark.
Awesome.
Between .NET on Windows versus WebSphere on Windows, with both significantly outperforming the scale-up approach on the Power 570 server.
So, do you think, I mean, are people convinced, do they think, look, you could run virtually any workload you need to run on Windows and .NET?
We still have a lot of convincing to do. I mean, why do I invest time in doing these benchmarks? Well, A, we produce all the code out on the web as a sample,
yeah,
so customers can download it and look and learn how to build high-performance apps. But we still have a lot of convincing to do because a lot of the, you know, the great architects grew out of the IBM mainframe or Unix-based systems on Sun, et cetera, mm-hmm, and have little experience. Many of them still have little experience with the .NET platform, and they just still say, oh, well, we remember NT, Windows NT, and that wasn't, you know, really wasn't capable of handling those large-scale mission-critical systems. Now, in mission-critical systems, in the latest studies that we've done internally and also externally, .NET actually has a higher penetration than Java in many of those systems.
Wow.
Across the board, but there's still a lot of architects that just don't have experience with .NET, and they need to take time to do a prototype,
mm-hmm,
to experiment with it and look at the value it brings in terms of both performance and productivity and also cost. And these studies are meant to help customers get over the hurdle of the reluctance to do due diligence.
Yeah,
it does take some investment to do the due diligence on a new platform. Hopefully these studies encourage customers to do that due diligence, give them food for thought, you know, make them pause and say, am I really going down the right path, paying, you know, millions of dollars for a Java app server, EJBs, the whole nine yards, when maybe there are better solutions out there that are more productive and perform as well or maybe even better.
So I think when it comes to the skills of building a super high-performance .NET app, WCF and whatnot, there's few people that understand this as well as you do, because, you mean, you know, Microsoft has put you in this place and said, go out and prove to the world we can do this.
Right.
So I'm just curious, what are some of the things that you've learned and maybe illustrated in StockTrader that make for just a super high-performance app?
Well, if you take a classic, you know, design pattern like we had with Pet Shop, and then when we went with StockTrader, we went services with WCF, mm-hmm, with remoting scenarios. And you're not talking workflow, and you're talking just, you know, kind of a straight classic three-tier app, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Make it stateless on the middle tier. Absolutely make it stateless on the middle tier. Then you can truly scale it out without too much worry. And if you need, like, user session state, we have mechanisms in .NET that let you either distribute that or centralize that. But for the most part, you want a stateless middle tier app. You want to use ADO.NET, I stick to the basics. Data readers.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't need a data set, you're not going to do a lot of fancy manipulation of the data. You just need to do presentation, like an MVC design pattern. Stick to ADO.NET data readers. Very, very high performance, very fast. Use system.transactions in .NET. Very simple thing. You mentioned you were on the Complus team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, it used to be whenever you did a transaction using Complus, even if it was against the same database,
right,
it would always invoke our DTC, our Distributed Transaction Coordinator, which still exists, mm-hmm. and did the logging and the two-phase commit. Well, we've got this great technology in .NET now called system.transactions. It's a mm-hmm. namespace, and it will only promote to a true distributed transaction if you actually truly are on two disparate database resources, and that can save a ton of resources on
right,
the server.
Right.
So it's all about getting in and out of calls very quickly, stateless middle tier, fast data access, and then maybe most importantly, invest in even a small lab. Like I have a pretty good lab.
Mm-hmm.
Invest in a small lab in the load test tools where you can very easily benchmark a prototype of your architecture, and then you can performance tune. You can't even begin to performance tune unless you have a lab that can put some load on that system
right.
in a realistic fashion, and you can see how it really responds.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The lab and performance testing early is absolutely critical to building a high-performance app in either Java or .NET.
Yeah, yeah.
And you need good architects. Doesn't matter the platform, you still need to understand architecture and have good architects on the project.
Well, it's true, you know, that most people say when people go to optimize for performance, mm-hmm. they tend to focus on things that either don't matter or don't matter very much.
Yes.
And it's because they don't have a lab to test it. They don't know.
The simplest thing that I hear, because I'll get called in a lot on where customers might be having a performance problem, either with SQL or maybe .NET on an app, and the most common thing I find, and it's the easiest thing in the world to correct, is they haven't indexed their database properly.
Yeah.
Without the right indexes on your database, your app just isn't, it's the difference between being able to support 10 or 20 concurrent users versus maybe 2,000 concurrent users, just one bad index or one missing index on a simple database query. Very simple to do. Mm-hmm. You know, anybody who's a good DBA can say, look at the where clauses and match those to a proper index, or you could use the wizards in the SQL server management tools that they have that'll actually show you the cost of a query and recommend an index. So that's like a very common thing that happens, probably the most common thing that happens with apps that don't perform well is bad indexing strategy, which impacts Java apps as much as it impacts .NET apps. So,
yeah, I found that when we looked at distributed app problems, mm-hmm. Same kind of thing. You know, there would be people would be all worried about what binding am I using, or what is this communication setting, whatever. And these are things that matter this much when their index matters this much.
Exactly. and so the key to performance testing is you can only get as much throughput as your first bottleneck allows.
Yeah.
So performance testing is about finding that first bottleneck mm-hmm. and then saying, okay, let's remove, and you're going to find the low-hanging fruit first. So you're going to use the performance tools, maybe in Visual Studio or something like a load runner to do some load testing, and you're going to say, hey, I get 100 TPS. Maybe you fix an index, all of a sudden you're at 1,000 TPS. So a huge, mm-hmm. The return on investment in performance tuning is very, very large in the beginning, and then the curve kind of flattens out as you invest more because the bottlenecks become, the bang for the buck in removing that bottleneck becomes less and less over time. But just the first 3 or 4 weeks of performance tuning, you might see a 5 to 10x improvement in performance just by investing a few weeks early on, finding easy things.
Now, one of the things that I've noticed in some of your benchmarks when you see the charts is the difference between, HTTP-based bindings, whether it's BASIC or WSHTTP, and TCP.
Yeah, that's
a great
question, because these benchmarks aren't all just about how does .NET compare to Java.
Right.
They're also, like StockTrader has a variety of different hosting modes for the services, self-host, IIS, supports a variety of different bindings, including NetTCP and WCF and HTTP, and so they're meant to also show the trade-offs within .NET of using one technology versus another.
Yeah.
To your question, on the HTTP-based side, you could take the ASP.NET web app that's just a veneer UI that remotes all logic via WCF to a business service tier, you'll get a roughly 5 times performance improvement by going to .NET TCP with binary encoding of the messages versus using HTTP and XML encoding of the messages. And a lot of that's actually in the TCP protocol versus HTTP.
Yeah.
And then maybe 20% of that improvement's in the fact you're using a binary encoder instead of a text XML.
Right.
You can use a binary encoder with HTTP, but if you go TCP binary encoding, it's a wonderful solution. Very, very fast performance, about 5 times faster than HTTP text XML. And of course, people say, well, that only works with a .NET client to a .NET service.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the beauty of WCF is you write your code once, you can add an endpoint for HTTP text XML.
Sure.
And Java clients can continue to interoperate with it, so you can support both endpoints at once. And there's no issue with that WCF at all. You just code it once, add the binding in the endpoint, just a config thing, and away you go.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And so now, just to be clear, that does you can still host that in IIS, though, right, with the TCP?
With what we call WAS hosting, Windows Activation Service. So absolutely, you can host non-HTTP endpoints in IIS, including TCP, MSMQ, and NamePipes, but NamePipes is a local-only protocol.
Right, right.
But you can absolutely do it in TCP, and StockTrader shows you how. It actually, when you set up on Windows 2008, Vista or Windows 7 or anything above, where IIS 7, you need IIS 7 to support that, it'll actually automatically install the TCP endpoints on the IIS-hosted implementation of the StockTrader business service. So you can see all that in action in the StockTrader app.
That is pretty amazing. Yeah. Now, so you're actually right now kind of working on bringing StockTrader into .NET 4.
Yep.
So it's going to be very exciting to see the evolution of that. And so people can go download this stuff, though, today.
Today. It'll install on everything from XP Professional to the latest R2 release of 2008 or Windows 7. Mm-hmm. It'll work on all of those systems. They can install it. Lots of documentation about how it works, different modes you can run it in.
Yeah.
And if you're into benchmarks and performance tuning, turns out there we built in a capacity planning tool that's a kind of cool packaged multi-agent benchmark tool that can test the StockTrader workloads and also another web service workload that Sun created called WS Test.
Uh-huh.
And the Java implementations and the .NET implementations ship as part of the kit, and you just wire up 10 cheap PCs as your benchmark agents if you have them lying around, and actually throw the web server implementation on a mainframe if you want, and get IBM to come in and tune it to their heart's content, and then compare it to maybe the .NET implementation on Windows or even the web server implementation on Windows and see exactly what the perf characteristics are very, very easily. So that's part of the kit. There's other samples in the kit with workflow, with WCF.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty comprehensive sample application.
Awesome. So
for the enterprise.
The URI again is?
msdn.microsoft.com/StockTrader.
Beautiful. Easy. Beautiful. I got to go look at that thing. Dang it.
And an easy install. It takes about 90 seconds to install it.
Okay.
Packaged install. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, Greg, thanks so much for joining us today. And, you know, go and get you that StockTrader. I'm telling you, it's worthwhile. Hey, we have so much more to come this year on Endpoint TV. You're going to hear a lot of cool stuff in future shows. We're going to have Greg back and even show us some StockTrader maybe next time.
On Visual Studio 2010 and CLR4, I'm happy to do that.
That would be awesome. All right. We'll see you next time on Endpoint TV.